Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey, friends, welcome back to the podcast and somehow welcome to the month of June. Oh my goodness, this calendar year is racing by. But here's the thing. I know summer is going to get busy, but I hope you can keep coming back every week because we have a packed calendar here on the podcast with so many topics I know you're going to love. And so I'm tempted to spill the beans and start naming some of the things ahead, but instead we're going to focus on what's in front of us today. And I'm going to trust you to keep coming back. Hopefully you have subscribed to this podcast. And also hopefully you are on my email list, which you can join at monicaswanson.com/subscribe. Now today we have Kathy Cook with us. Kathy is somebody I have followed for a long time. She is so full of wisdom and she's a favorite on Focus on the Family. She's just an amazing woman who we all could just sit under and learn so much. Well, we are talking today from her most recent book called Parent Differently, Raise Kids with Biblical Character That Changes Culture. And you know that's what we're all about around here. And in fact, the timing of this interview couldn't be better because next Monday, I am opening the doors to my character training course with a big summer sale. So I know a lot of you have been waiting, asking me when I'm going to open the doors, and summer is such a great time to focus on your kids' character. So if you haven't yet joined the character training course crew, definitely go over to show notes where you're going to find a link to the character training course page, and you can learn more about what's in it, what the sale is, all the things I've updated, and more. So show notes can be found at monicaswanson.com/Kathy. With a K dash Cook, spelled K-O-C-H. All right, so excited for all of that. And now, without further ado, let's jump in and talk to Kathy about what it means to raise kids with biblical character that changes culture. I think you're going to be encouraged. Kathy, welcome to the podcast.
I'm super happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, I'm smiling ear to ear here because I have always wanted to get to chat with you. So selfishly, this is just like, I can't wait to talk and we get to share this conversation with everybody else. So for those who don't know you, please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure, I would love to. So my ministry is called Celebrate Kids. You know, Jesus celebrated kids when no one was. And so that's where the name comes from. I'm a former teacher, coach, school board member, and university professor. And I thought I would do each of those forever. And God kept moving me on. And so I am primarily a parent educator, believe it or not. And I'm not even a parent, which is really a fun way to talk to young people about how God will equip and empower us in a variety of ways. So I do a lot of homeschool events. I do a lot of pro-life events. I do work with parents and teachers in Christian schools and churches. And it's just a delight, isn't it? I mean, and I love podcasting because what an efficient way for you and I to make a difference today as people listen and hopefully are going to retain what we talk about.
Totally. I love that. And I love you mentioned that you're not a parent. For those listening, because I know there are listeners who have reached out to me and said, you know, I don't have kids, but I just love listening to the podcast. I just want to encourage those who don't have children, how valuable you are. I mean, I think of some of the aunties in my boys' lives, the people, the uncles who here in Hawaii, we call everyone auntie and uncle, but people who have kind of come alongside and been there maybe to listen or speak into their lives when mom and dad's voice isn't so well received. So anyone listening that falls into that category, just know how important you are, right?
Oh, I love that. Leaders in our churches, you know, who make eye contact with kids. And, you know, I love it when I'm in a church and little boys usher with their dads, you know, where we're involving children and saying, you matter already. It's not that you have a future. The church, you're not the future of the church. You're the church now. So, yeah, I appreciate those comments a lot.
Oh, totally. Well, You've written a number of books. You're a busy woman and using your time well for the Lord and to really encourage and equip families. I love that so much. Though there's many directions I could go in this conversation, today we are talking about your book, Parent Differently, Raise Kids with Biblical Character That Changes Culture. Love this. Couldn't love it much more. And anyone who has been listening to my podcast or following me knows character is like my second favorite thing to talk about next to relationship with Jesus. And it goes right along with it. And I know that you and I share a heart for both of those things. So maybe tell us what inspired this particular book.
Yeah, thanks for asking that. One of the inspirations was parents who are really frustrated with disobedient kids. And you and I both know that yelling at kids doesn't change much of their behavior. Mm-hmm. It can change the attitude, you know, make it even worse. But, you know, stop arguing. Or why haven't you emptied the dishwasher? Mm-hmm. So parents tend to emphasize obedience, which I understand. But what I believe needs to happen is a change of heart, which would be character with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And now it goes with them wherever they are. So I wanted to encourage parents to say, if you emphasize character, you're going to change your child forever. And kids don't gravitate toward obedience, right? Mm-hmm. They tell me, well, Dr. Kathy, it's rule following, and I don't always know the rules. Mm-hmm. Or there has to be somebody watching me because I have to be, you know, afraid of the punishment, or I want the reward. And so obedience isn't all that effective. I wrote it for that reason. Also, Monica, like you, I want children empowered to make a difference now. And so the subtitle of the book, Raise Kids with Biblical Character That Changes Culture.
Yeah.
I believe that it's your character and my character that allows us to be influential, to make an impact.
Yes.
And I want your kids and other kids to know that I don't have to grow up. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm kind to my piano teacher and I don't lie, and I admit that I didn't practice as much as I should have, I've changed culture for her because I've made it a better day for her. So those are some of the reasons.
Oh, that's so good. I love that so much. And I love that you really get to the heart. Again, you talk about obedience and obedience is good, but you really dive into the heart. But before we get to that, how about, you know, I originally created my character training course thinking it was for parents of tweens and teens, but then I had parents reaching out who are like, well, I have toddlers and I'm seeing some character issues already. What can I do? Is it ever too early or too late to work on character?
No, it's not. I appreciate that what you said there, because I think that's a real common misnomer. Mm-hmm. Children are paying attention from the get-go. They're watching from the get-go. Mm-hmm. They hear tone of voice in utero. Mm-hmm. And that we know that because they'll turn their head toward mama's voice in the delivery room and not to the nurse's voice. So they're paying attention to our tone of voice and to whether or not we're critical or encouraging and affirming. And again, they're watching our modeling or the lack of the modeling, whether it's good or bad.
Yes.
And then, you know, they can take direction. If you want your children to be responsible in the home and to play a part so that they feel significant and purposeful in their home, then we need to teach character so that they can be well and do well.
Yes.
And it's never too late either, right, Monica?
I was going to say, how about that? Someone with a teenager out there that's like, I've blown it. I didn't really pay attention. What do you say to them?
Yeah. So grace for yourself, because most parents have done the best they knew how to do. Yeah. And what I think happens, Monica, today's parents of teens, they look back and think, well, man, I should have done it differently. Well, 10 years ago, you didn't know to do it differently. Yeah. So now you're judging yourself harshly with today's wisdom. So like, we're glad you're listening. Praise God that you read books and you're maybe in a class, even in church, about how to parent and how to live well. But you did the best you knew how to do. You weren't intentionally ineffective.
Yeah.
So now, if your kid is the guinea pig, your kid knows. Like firstborns, they know. So you sit down, you know, ideally as a couple, if you're married, and you sit down with your son or daughter and say, man, you know, we did the best we knew how to do in the moment. We've learned a lot. We owe you an apology for this and this and this. We should have been more consistent with our boundaries. We should have been brave enough to say no. We shouldn't have prioritized friendship with you. Would you honor us, you know, come toward us, and could we have a second go at this, because your life matters that much to us.
Yes.
We want to provide support and boundaries while you're still in our home. And Monica, I've had people read the book, praise God, who have prodigals, who have kids in their late 20s, and they've been able to recognize, okay, gratitude and joy are the two most important qualities that I recommend in the book. So if I go to dinner with a prodigal and I choose gratitude and joy, I'm making a difference in that relationship. So you might not teach the quality in the way that you would teach it to an 8-year-old, but you can demonstrate the quality. And kids become who we tell them they are. So when we affirm for even a 20-year-old, man, thanks for being on time and saying thank you for the invitation, that really honored me. Now, the first time you say that to a kid, it might feel really weird, right?
Yeah, right.
But it's such a blessing for them to hear you say that.
Oh, I love that. And I love how you always emphasize just the genuine communication with kids, because somehow we often forget that. I don't know, as parents, we just feel like we're parenting, but kids like to be spoken to with respect, and like they really do get it. And oftentimes they get more than we think they do, even when they're young. So I love the way you plainly speak to kids and own your mistakes, own any regrets you might have, and then move forward, right?
Thank you. Yeah, specific language really matters.
It does. Yes, I love that. Okay, so you talk about beliefs, how beliefs are connected to character. Mm-hmm. This is really the foundation of it all. It's what I love to talk about, but maybe you can kind of shine a light on how our kids' spiritual beliefs, their understanding of God in their life, how that's going to lead to the kind of character we hope for.
Oh, I love that. And praise God that you talk about this as well. You know, one of the reasons I wrote the book was that I want children to become who God created them to be. Mm-hmm. So God's a very intentional creator. He knits us together in our mother's womb, and he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And he chose us to be, for you and me to be word smart. He chose us to be passionate about the things that we're passionate about. He chose, you know, which kids would be musically inclined and which kids would be easy to parent and which kids would be a challenge. And when kids become who they were created to be, they're going to glorify God, honor the creative intent, and have a much more purposeful and delightful life. Yes. But without character, right? Without character, they won't become who they could have been. Yeah. If you're known as a liar and someone who's, you know, constantly teasing, or sarcasm is your gift and you choose to use it, or, you know, you're not grateful, you're not teachable, you're not resilient, you're not brave, this is going to damage the very core of your possibilities, and your future won't be what it can be. So that's a huge belief for children, Monica. I believe God did a good thing when he chose to make me me. I might not like this part of me. I mean, it might not be my favorite part of me.
Sure.
But Psalm 139, verse 14, where David writes, my soul knows it very well. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And my soul, like for our children to know deep down in the deep down, that God is good, and here is proof. And, you know, in my case, spelling isn't one of my strengths, but I have an earned PhD. I've written 7 books. You know, you don't let your weaknesses win.
Right.
So you let your kids understand there are these things about me that don't make life all that easy. But just like Paul had a thorn in my side, maybe this is mine and I'm not going to give into it. So that belief that God was good and I was supposed to be created, and I am created me on purpose. I can't wait to find out all the reasons I am me. Like, that changes children. There's more I could say, but that belief right there will change children, right?
Oh my goodness. It so will. Yes. And that's why I always say with my, you know, now 3 adult sons and now having a teenager still at home, just how important it's been that we keep circling back to identity. Because I just think that is foundational to everything. And kids are going to struggle with identity no matter what. They just will. We all will, even as adults, right? But if we, and I say you can't emphasize it too much, just talking to them about their great value because they're God's kids and what that looks like, because that's going to speak into all these other struggles they have and hopefully build such a firm foundation. So I love that.
Let me just add real quick, if you don't mind.
Please.
The other thing about that, when children understand their value and that they were created by a God who wanted them, they can then believe that for others. They can believe that about their siblings. They can believe that about people who are different from them. Wait a second, but God doesn't make junk. Mommy and Daddy said that, and we are who we are supposed to be. So that person who's different from me, that's not a bad person. That's just a person different. And I wonder if I walked toward him and got to know him, if I would actually find out he's a really cool guy. So that is, those are the character qualities of other-centeredness. Respect for others, compassion, all of those qualities that, you know, build relationships are going to be rooted in the belief that children have about not just themselves, but others.
Oh, that's so important. I'm really glad you added that. That's huge.
Good.
Yeah. And I think it's what we want for our kids, right? And sometimes the focus is so much on that, you forget to start with the heart. But if you start with the first things first, the others hopefully will then be led to naturally. I love that. Okay. Well, I also love to talk about decision-making in my character training course. I really try to speak into helping, especially teens, make good decisions, but character is going to inform decision-making. How can we kind of tune into that even in the earlier years? Talk to us about kids making choices.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. Decisions matter greatly. I love to tell children and adults that all behavior starts with choice.
Mm-hmm.
And every choice is rooted in a worldview, which is why it ought to be biblical, in my opinion.
Yes.
And if people haven't heard much about that, you know, that's something that you can easily Google the term biblical or Christian worldview and find out more. It is what causes you to be and do what you do.
Yeah.
So absolutely. So as an example, arguing, if you have kids who argue well or complain a lot, oh my goodness. You know, what's that about? Selfishness, self-centeredness, a disrespect for others.
Yeah.
I think arguing is often inflexibility.
Okay.
I wanted my way, so that can be pride. Mm-hmm. Grandma was going to have us over for lunch. I want to go to grandma's. And you've told your 7-year-old or your 4-year-old, we can't go to grandma's today. She's not feeling well and she's really sorry, but I want to go to grandma's. Mm-hmm. You can't go to grandma's, right? So that push, that's a lack of flexibility, a lack of respect, a lack of compassion. So behavior is rooted in good character qualities and less than good character qualities. And I think what we can do, Monica, is look for the pattern. I love to say to parents when decision-making and everything else, no kid is 24/7, 365, anything.
Right.
Right. I wish that we were, I wish I was consistent.
Same. Yeah.
But there are days when, the wrong Kathy shows up, hopefully that's not happening right now. But so beliefs do cause those behaviors. So if a kid argues, pay attention to when they argue. Maybe it's after you just paid attention to a sister. And so they're jealous and it's revenge. They're going to make mommy mad because mommy didn't say I was good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when we look for patterns, I think we can see the decision that's under the observable behavior. Okay. Sometimes it's fatigue and hunger and thirst. Sometimes it's only during math because they don't feel very good at math and daddy loves math and they don't want to disappoint daddy. So the fear comes up and the argument pursues. Right. So beliefs are absolutely critical and they're more observable than we realize when we look for patterns. And if kids are old enough, Monica, let's ask them. Now, the first time you say, why did you just do that? They look at you like you're from Mars. Like, I don't have a clue.
Right, right. You
know, and a lot of kids don't. In fact, a lot of adults are impulsive and they haven't really thought things through because they haven't, like you, studied decisions. But again, by asking a 10-year-old, a 14-year-old, why did you just do that, implies there is a reason behind your action. And go to your room for 20 minutes and come back and give me 3 possibilities. Let's do a multiple choice and figure it out.
Okay. I like that. No, let's go a little bit more into this practical stuff because somebody out there listening has a kid who just is, continuing to be disrespectful, disobedient. So bring it up, have conversations about it, then introduce, can you just walk us through that? Let's say a certain 13-year-old, we won't name names around here, just for whatever reason, just hates cleaning up his room. There's always clothes on the floor and it's just getting really old around here or there. So let's say this mom is like, okay, she talks about character all the time. Her other 3 sons maybe didn't have any problem with this, but it feels like a discipline issue. It feels like something that could lead to more. What kind of steps would you tell this made up mom to take?
You're so hysterical. So as you know, in the book, there's an appendix of 48 qualities and I have a baker's dozen top 13. So what I might do is whether it's my list or you Google a list of character qualities that you would look and go, okay, why is sloppiness okay? Why is a lack of stewardship okay? I think that's an integrity issue. I think that's pride. Mm-hmm. It's my stuff. I can do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And then I think, a thing a mom can do is say, you have 4 hours, anything on the floor at the end of 4 hours becomes mine. Okay. And you go in, you set a timer, you go in, you take it all, you put it in a bag and you put it in your closet. And he wants that toy back. He wants that particular shirt back. Guess what? You lost it for a while because you chose, there's a power word, you chose to not take me seriously. So is it pride? Is it a lack of commitment to the family values? Is it, I think it's disrespect for mom. Bottom line, as long as mom is kind and careful in the way that she communicates, I think it's a disrespect issue, and I think you call sin, sin. Mm-hmm. And I think you sit down at the right time, possibly as a couple, again, if you're fortunate enough to be married or partnering and parenting together, and you have those conversations. And again, the question is, why? So this is the analysis in your mind is, why is my kid not following through on this? Mm-hmm. And what I often recommend is that we don't say to our kids, you're such a slob. Identity controls behavior.
Yeah.
So you don't want to give them a negative label. But you say, I've noticed lately that you're not following through on what I think is a pretty simple directive. Mm-hmm. You wear clothes, you hang them back up, or you put them in the hamper. Like, why is this hard for you?
Right.
So is it laziness?
Yeah.
That's not a quality our family values.
Mm.
Is it prioritizing gaming? Then maybe we need to take the games away. No, mommy, no. So we begin to talk about what are we observing?
Sure.
Which, see, evidence doesn't lie.
Right.
You're observing something real.
Mm-hmm.
And you observe that, talk about it, and then hopefully your son is going to go, okay, mom, I get it. And then you have, you know, good old-fashioned lessons about respecting mom, possibly.
Right. So good. And I love that because maybe kids haven't made that connection yet. They haven't connected the dots between their character and hopefully if you've emphasized character or if you're beginning to, then they will value that. So they'll want to like rise up. If someone had told me 18 years ago when my older sons started homeschooling that one day they would be graduating from college with degrees in engineering and data analytics, I'm not sure if I would have believed you. I wouldn't have known how they could learn all those things since those are not my areas of expertise. Well, thankfully God provided and we found some great curriculums along the way, and the curriculum that my boys would say most prepared them for their studies was the Shorman math classes found at diveintomath.com. Now, Dive Into Math offers a biblical and historical foundation in their math classes, teaching the why of learning math. They have self-paced courses in state-of-the-art e-learning systems featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading, auto-recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman, which my boys did utilize. Now, Dr. Shorman is from Texas A&M. He is well-studied, so smart, but he's moved here to the North Shore of Oahu, and we've gotten to know him well, and he is an amazing man we have so much respect for. This next year, as Levi starts high school, he'll be taking Dr. Shorman's Algebra 1 and 2, which teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. You guys, this is a great curriculum. I highly recommend if your kids are interested in college or at least you want to keep that door open, definitely go to diveintomath.com. Check out all that they have to offer. Let me know what you think. Can't wait to hear from you. Hey ladies, I want to talk to you about Hormone Harmony, an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution for women of all ages. Now I think you'll agree with me, hormones affect us throughout our lives. Whether you deal with PMS symptoms or you're entering that lovely perimenopause or menopause stage of life, hormones can be challenging. Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means they use only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, and adaptogens help the body adapt to any stressors, especially things like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Now, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code Monica at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code Monica for 15% off today. Okay, well, you touched on consequences right there, and I want to talk a little bit more about that because I have confessed that it's just so much easier for me to nag, yell and scream. I mean, anything. Consequences are hard. And I think my theory is they're hard because they usually affect somebody other than the kids. It's going to affect your life, your schedule, somebody, grandma and grandpa, somebody else is going to be affected by these consequences. But can you encourage us to just lean into consequences, positive and negative, because rewards are a consequence as well, correct?
Right. No, first of all, Monica, you're not alone. So I appreciate your vulnerability with your audience. Consequences do. Like if you say no screen time for a day, that affects you
because
now your kid follows you around like a puppy dog and there's nothing for me to do. So we think carefully before we say something out of our mouth, right?
Yeah.
So consequences that fit the crime, consequences that are rewards that fit the beauty, they're the best. Mm-hmm. That's what works for adults. The reason I like consequences, adults are not rewarded and punished.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there could be a sense if you work outside of the home, you know, maybe. But, you know, I'm going to dinner with a friend tonight and I will earn a consequence based on the choices I make at that restaurant.
Yes.
You know, if I overeat, if I eat too much sugar, if I choose the burger and fries, not the salad, those are my choices. And then I feel the consequences of those and I talk inside my head about it. So consequences really work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a parent who punishes and rewards, you always have to be there and you become, you know, the police officer referee, but you don't go with your kid to his first job or to the college dorm or to the friend's house for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're not there, so they don't know who they are. You have to work for them to understand that there's a consequence for the choices they make. You chose this, therefore, that's a powerful word. You chose to slam your door 5 times, so therefore I'm taking it off the hinges. You've lost privacy for 24 hours. No, you're so mean. I am not mean. You chose that I would take the door off the hinges because of your attitude. You caused me to do this. Monica, powerful language. I don't say it's easy. And this is where I think moms and dads hopefully talk to others of similarly aged kids, talk about what, you know, what fits best. But for instance, you know, 2 siblings, they pick at each other, they separate. And Angela stays in the den for 20 minutes and the other kid goes to his room, not his room, if his room is a fun place. No. The back porch for 20 minutes. 20 minutes. 20
that's
minutes.
Good.
Yeah.
No, that's all so good. And I think a key to that too is for us to stay unemotional as we're giving the consequences, right?
Oh, ideally. I mean, you have a right to your disappointment. I tell parents all the time,
thank you.
You have a right to be disappointed in the choices your kids are making. Mm-hmm. And yet you don't want anger to rule, obviously. So this is why, I mean, I've actually recommended, this isn't in the book, but I recommended maybe that a parent, you know, list appropriate consequences for, you know, sibling rivalry issues, for lying or teasing or talking back or arguing. And you put them on the inside cupboard of a kitchen door, you know, and so you're in the you're in the throes of, I cannot believe Brian just did that again. And you open the cupboard door and you see your list of what to do when he gets angry.
Yeah.
And you maybe see something that would be appropriate.
That is so helpful. And that leads me to a one, we're getting near the end of these questions and then there's so much more we could talk about. But in light of all of this, how mom's handling things, because I love having those reminders, because no doubt in the heat of the moment, your mind can go blank and you'll forget everything. Yeah. So good to just have those reminders. And also that is modeling for your kids some ways that they might also realize they need help too. We all have the Holy Spirit. We need God's help throughout the day, but sometimes some visual reminders are helpful. You also talk about other ways that parents are modeling character. And to me, this is like foundational for all parenting, how we model. Can you encourage us in our own character a little bit here?
Well, yeah, it's interesting how many parents have reached out to me to say that by the second chapter, they were reading the book for themselves.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. And I'm sure when people read your excellent books, the same thing happens. And that would be the desire of my heart would be that the parent would want to be the very best that he or she can be. Back to consequences. I think one of the best things a parent can do to teach character is to admit when things have gone very well and the consequences are not so well. So a dad read my book, he came home from work and said to the kids, how was your day? And they're like, fine. And then they said, Daddy, how was your day? And the dad stopped and chose to be vulnerable and authentic and said, it wasn't a good day. My supervisor knocked on the door at 3. And as soon as he was there, I knew what I had done. I forgot to turn in a report that was due at 2. And you guys, I did what you sometimes do. I did what I wanted to do, not what I was supposed to do. And it was embarrassing. I had to apologize. And Jake, I'm going to have to miss your soccer game tonight because I've got to stay back and finish this.
So this is hard.
Yeah, and I know. And I might miss, I was hoping for an assignment to an important committee. And I'm afraid now that he might not choose me for that because I've demonstrated I can't be trusted. So you know what I did, you guys? In my phone at 2 o'clock on Monday, I have an alert that's a 24-hour notice of that report needing to be done. And then I have a second report at noon on Tuesday, a 2-hour reminder, just in case I get distracted, because I don't want to do that again. So that would be an example, Monica, of a negative choice. And the dad could use character words there. You know, I chose to be happy instead of to be, you know, persevering. I didn't honor my boss. I was selfish and self-centered in what I was doing.
Yeah.
And that's powerful. And what we know, Monica, is that when a parent is vulnerable and admits that life is hard, the child is encouraged by that.
Yes.
You actually have more authority with your kid because now they'll come to you when they have a bad day and they will believe that you will understand. It's very important that we are honest. And you can do the same thing when something goes really well. If your report is picked up by the boss and he tells you in a sidebar conversation that he really respected how thorough your research was, let your kids know thorough is a very important word.
Oh, that is huge. I love those examples so much. And yeah, I've often encouraged people, like, share your life with your kids. For one, because they're going to grow up and be your friends one day. At least we hope so.
We hope so.
And also because we don't want selfish kids, right? We want them to be tuned in to other people. And sometimes, I guess, I'm a talker, so it comes natural to me. But I encourage parents because I'm like, it helps your kids grow up learning to care about somebody other than themselves. And yes. I was just telling a friend just yesterday, my 24-year-old son called from California and I was like, how was the weekend and all that? And he's like, but mom, I haven't heard much about you. Tell me, what's new in your life? And I was like, oh.
That's beautiful.
It's like dreams come true. So it's worth it to build that relationship. But I love, because more than anything we teach them, they're going to remember that example you just shared about the dad. Like they're going to remember our vulnerable moments, the things we taught them from our own life. Such good stuff here. And I love your focus. We'll just wrap up with this. Talk to us about Jesus. Jesus loved children. You already mentioned he celebrated children. I think we can overlook that, you know, just like so many stories in the Bible, we just kind of read it and go, oh yeah, that was significant, especially in that culture, in that time. So can you speak into that a little bit?
Let me say this, Monica. I talk in the book, as you know, about biblical character and not Christ-like character. Mm. We're told in the scripture to become like Christ, and so I'm not opposed to Christ-like character. Children, again, have told me, but Kathy, I can't be like Jesus. He's perfect. Mm. So Christ-like is a little bit off-putting maybe to the unsaved and to the babe in Christ. But biblical character establishes Old Testament and New Testament. So the Proverbs are in the Old Testament. And the Proverbs, as you know, are the wise one and the foolish one. There's just so much truth there about character. And then in the Old Testament, we have Daniel and Esther. Great examples of great faith for young people. Yeah. We have Moses and Caleb and, you know, Deborah and Ruth and Naomi, and just so much brilliance there. In the New Testament, of course, we have Paul and Matthew and James, and again, you know, Lazarus and so many others that we could talk about. And then the truth of the scripture and what we are taught in the scripture about who we are and how to be who we are. So yeah, to use the scripture in a practical way. We read it to get to know God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and we read it to get to know ourselves, created in his image for his glory. And what does he say about us? And will I live that out today?
Yeah.
You know, for a kid to go, mom, is that true that God wanted me and he chose me? Yeah. So that kid who goes through the day, wait, I was chosen by God. Like, I think he'll stand up a little bit straighter and he'll make hopefully wiser choices, because in that knowledge, he would want to glorify God, I would hope.
Yes, that's huge. And I love that in the book, and you talk about using these stories as character lessons, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, you're not going to find many better lessons. Like our family, Daniel comes up all the time as we're raising these boys in the world today, just somebody who could stand strong against a culture that was going crazy. So I love all the stories. Joseph is one of my favorites in the Old Testament, just talking about, anyway, there's so many good ones, but yeah, great examples, so many fun things. Well, tell us a little bit more about what you do with Celebrate Kids, where people can find you. And yeah, then I'd love to have you back to touch on some of the other topics. Maybe mention too that you speak at homeschool conferences. Anyone listening knows my latest book is about homeschooling, and I love that you are a fan of that as well.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited that you've chosen to write that book. There are more and more people choosing homeschooling without maybe God's call. And I think it's hard, even if God calls you to it, if you're doing it for different reasons. I think having books like yours is going to be really a profitable thing. No, I really appreciate homeschooling because I value the family unit. Yeah. And what I've seen happen is that brothers and sisters tend to know themselves better. Dad gets to know their kids differently. Of course, mom is just amazing. And you don't have to know everything. You don't have to know the longest river, and you don't have to know how to spell everything. You're going to learn along with your kids. Like, I would be a smarter person if I was homeschooling children. So yeah, we do speak at homeschool events. We'll be at several here this year. I also do church-based parenting and Sunday school teacher kind of work. I do Christian school work with teachers. I'm on the faculty of Summit Ministries, so I do the Biblical Worldview Program for Summit. I'll be teaching for the Colson Center a couple of times this year. Very much a fan of both of those ministries. And like I said, I do some pro-life fundraising where we can save babies and put a family together, which I think honors God tremendously. And then, like you know, I'm an author of 7 books. We podcast. People can check us out at celebratekids.com. And you can follow us on Facebook at Celebrate Kids, Inc. And I would love for people to do that.
Yay. Okay. We're going to link to all those places in the show notes. But Kathy, what an honor it's been to get to chat with you. And I'm going to beg you to come back on and talk about some of your other topics as well. So thanks so much.
You're welcome, and you won't have to beg me. I've enjoyed our conversation.
Awesome. Well, God bless you, and aloha. All right, friends, I hope you were encouraged by everything Kathy shared. And I hope you recognize the importance of focusing on our kids' character, and summer is a great time to do that. So again, head over to show notes, monicaswanson.com/Kathy with a K-K-O-C-H. And you will find links to everything that Kathy and I talked about, where you can find and follow her, as well as a link to the character training course page where you can check out the sale, check out everything in it, and hopefully be ready to join next week, Monday. Quick note on that. Once you're in the course, you have lifetime access. So the course will only be open, available for 1 week. But then once you get in, you can take as long as you want to go through all the modules and return to it as you need to over the years. The course is created for parents of kids, everything from toddlers through the teenagers. And there's something in there for everyone. So the sooner you start, the better. Okay, guys, have an awesome rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.